Hi, I'm Amanda Russell, the communications consultant for Western United Dairies, and this is Seen and Heard. Next up, we have a market update from Tiffany LaMandola at EverAg.
Hi, folks. Hope you had a great week. You know, I'm going to focus on how we finished out this week after some volatility up and down. We had a really good Friday, and I think we're all in need of a little good news. We finally saw a rally over in our spot cheese market. It's been a while. We saw blocks pick up 7.5 cents and trade up to 151.5. Barrels gained 8 cents up to 153. We saw a lot of loads trade on the exchange. Today alone on Friday, 8 blocks and 13 barrels changed hands. So there is still product available, but for now, buyers seemed interested in scooping it up. So let's hope that continues into next week. We did see futures kind of come out of the doldrums and rally right along today. We also had a nice close on butter at 294. That was up another penny here on Friday. And nonfat was mostly held steady to slightly lower for the week, but it's still at 113.25. So again, nice finish to our dairy markets. Next week is pretty quiet on the report front, so nothing too market moving there. We're going to have to wait till mid-April for another global dairy trade. And then on the 22nd, we'll get the milk production report for March. So that will be interesting, as well as the cold storage report. So stay tuned. The other good news in our markets, we're over on the feed side, both corn and soybeans moving lower. Corn, in fact, had its biggest two-day decline that we've seen since February. May corn closed at 434.25, down 8 cents for the week. Remember, you have until April 29th to sign up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program through your FSA office. Please reach out if you have any questions.
Yosemite Farm Credit is the farmer's choice for agriculture financing. As a farmer-owned cooperative, we are dedicated to serving our neighbors in the agriculture community with financial products and services tailored to your operation and backed with the relationship you can trust. Whether you're purchasing real estate, making improvements to the dairy, or wanting to purchase or lease equipment, we're here to help our members prosper. Visit our website at YosemiteFarmCredit.com to find a branch location nearest you.
Did you know that you can turn your dairy manure into cash? Bennett Environmental is offering above-ground dairy digesters at no cost to you. These systems can also remove nitrates from your lagoons to help you comply with water board regulations. Our proven above-ground technology will generate income for your dairy into the foreseeable future. Because we truck the renewable natural gas off-site, your dairy can profit regardless of your location. Bennett Environmental, turning your wastewater liabilities into sustainable assets. Learn more at bennett-environmental.com.
Today we welcome back Western United Dairy CEO Anya Radabaugh for a timely update on the avian influenza outbreak. Anya, thanks for coming back on the podcast today. We have a little bit of a timely update with some news that's been coming out. So a few weeks ago, we sent out an update about this mystery dairy or this mystery illness in dairy cattle in Texas, and we now know that it is the highly pathogenic avian influenza, which is also the bird flu. So where are we today? What information do we know?
We've had a lot of information come through the last week, and we did send a very large update out to our farmers last night. So today is Wednesday, April 3rd. So as of April 3rd, this is the first confirmed transmission of avian bird flu to dairy cattle. It has been a vector for a number of other animal-linked bird flus, cats. Obviously, birds get it. There has been some transmission in a lot of wild geese, but generally, we've never seen recorded cases before affecting dairy cattle. So this is, for the epidemiologic world, a really big discovery. That's really important to point out right off the bat that milk and beef products are completely safe. Anything that is pasteurized kills the H1N1 or bird flu virus. There is no risk of transmission that way. So dairy products are 100% safe that have been pasteurized. And there is no evidence yet to support any linkage to beef cattle. But I would point out that one of the symptoms that is exhibiting itself in this particular outbreak has to do with mammary and lactation glands. And so right now, dairy cattle, because they're obviously lactating, are the only ones showing symptoms, which is a marked drop in milk production, which is very devastating for a farmer that contracts this on his farm. But as of Monday, we have, unfortunately, evidence that strongly suggests cow-to-cow transmission, which means that asymptomatic young stock can pass it on to older lactating animals. And so that has caused a whole set of new precautions to be issued by the USDA, by CDFA, by FDA, by CDC, by CalOSHA. There's a lot of agencies that are now involved. And then, unfortunately, this past Monday on April 1st, it was not a joke. There was one confirmed case of a dairy worker in Texas having exhibited pink eye symptoms that are associated with the bird flu. So we have now leveled up all of our PPE discussions with our farmers, and we are encouraging dairy farmers to take a look at the latest guidance to make sure that they are separating their young stock, especially those that they may have purchased in the last several weeks. So we could talk a little bit more about those, but this is a very important day in viral genealogy. It's not very good, though, for dairy farmers in the United States.
Yeah, so it started in Texas, in the Panhandle, from what we know. It was discovered, or they have it in Michigan, cases in Michigan and in Kansas. Where else is it? Do we know of any instances in California?
Yeah, at the moment, we are dairy cattle bird flu free. It's really important to point out that bird flu is an annual cycle throughout the United States, depending on where you are. It shows up from south to north on the eastern coast of the United States, usually at the late fall. And then as you creep across the Midwest and Texas, it starts to move from north to south, which is very similar to migrating bird patterns. It does come generally from migratory birds. There have been a couple thousand species of birds that have been known carriers of it, namely Aleutian geese, which is very concerning for our dairy farmers up in the North Coast who actually harbor Aleutian geese. They love the pastures up there. Dry-colored blackbird is not a known carrier. So for all the dairy farms in the valley currently working to protect the tri-colored blackbird, they are not carriers, but at least known today. So your question was, which states are affected? It is definitely thick in the Texas Panhandle. There was several hundred loads of springers, which is kind of a first-year lactating animal, shipped to Michigan, which then spread the outbreak up there. Those cows also found their way into Idaho. They have found an outbreak there. North Carolina, New Mexico, Nebraska, and I think that's about it. So said Michigan. I think I just read today that they found a case in Iowa. Unfortunately, and it just takes these guys time. We have hundreds of scientists probably working on this. Again, if you're a virologist, this is like your Super Bowl. But they have been testing samples. They're trying to figure out how to isolate if it's the birds in the commodity barns. Is it bird droppings? Is it communicated through the water? Feces, right? There's all kinds of things that they're trying to test. And so some of these cattle that have been exhibiting symptoms, they're not sure if it, like the one up in Iowa, for example, right now there doesn't seem to be a genetic link between those in Texas. So this is why quarantines and precautions are now being discussed on a much broader level.
What can California producers do today? What can they implement biosecurity-wise today?
I would, and consulting with their veterinarian is really important, but there are a number of precautions. First of all, if you haven't stopped purchasing some young stock, especially from the affected herds in Texas, I would definitely have a chat with your veterinarian about that and stop doing that for the time being. But if you suspect that, and this is the challenging part about asymptomatic cow-to-cow transmission, is who do you isolate? And so the disease tends to really affect cows that are in their fourth or fifth lactation. And so you really want to protect your young or separate your young stock from your milking herd if you feel like you've had some herd movement, especially across border lines. But this is another challenge, is going in and out of livestock markets. There's a lot of change in that sector. So what is a dairy cow? What isn't is also being defined. I would point out that the existing sampling and the existing testing have only been done on dairy cows because they're presenting symptoms. And so we don't know what the beef sector, they've not been testing for it, is essentially what I'm saying. So in addition to making sure you've got your milking cows fairly well controlled, you want to stop all non-essential visits on the farm. So, you know, inspections, a lot of things that we're required to do to get our milk to market have to happen. I would put that in the essential category. But some of the other like audits and things like that that might be able to wait, I would strongly encourage farmers to look at their books, non-essential salesmen, those kinds of folks that just don't need to be trampling around, especially around the livestock. Like if you have an office on your dairy that people can visit, that's great. But you really want to minimize any outside transmission. Reinforce your PPE among your hoof trimmers. It doesn't say that since they do go from dairy to dairy on a very regular basis. And then protecting our workers also needs to be at the front of mind here. So ensuring that workers have masks, access to PPE, boots or the little boot covers that can protect them from moving the virus potentially around a barn. And then lots and lots of hand washing stations. We want to discourage any kind of secretions. So make sure that they're not touching their face or their eyes or their noses when they're involved in the cattle. Those are things that are basic precautions, similar to some of the exercises we've had to do in the last few years. But making sure that workers are aware that this is a potential challenge. Like I said earlier, we've not seen any confirmed dairy HPIA in in California yet. It is highly unlikely that we will remain completely case-free. It's just too pathogenic to control. But hopefully we can leave a mark and make sure that some of our protective measures will really reinforce a California-free status.
Okay, great. Do you want to talk about what this does to the market? Like what if there are market implications?
Well, so far, we haven't seen a ton of negative market implications. You would think, Texas did suffer some significant production loss in the beginning because it's really how this virus is presenting itself in dairy cattle is the fourth and fifth lactation animals are getting really sick. The first thing that people notice is their rumination cycle is severely interrupted, which means their feed intake is then slowed or minimized or down to nothing, which then, of course, affects the milk production. And so those cows are getting flagged right there in the milking barn. But you can actually hear a physical change in the rumen. And so, again, veterinarians should, and I know they know those signs. But for the average farmer, kind of thinking about what presents itself, it's usually in that milk production cycle. And so I think that, you know, thinking about how that's shown itself on Texas has really impacted some of their production. What we've seen on the milk markets, though, hasn't been as drastic. I'm always rooting for better prices for farmers. This has not brought those prices to farmers higher. In fact, our whey price kind of still sucks. So, we're not seeing a huge impact. We did see a slog in the beef sector a couple days ago where you saw some pretty low beef prices for the first time in a long time. There's no causation, though. There's no correlation yet with the avian influenza. So the goal is to try to avoid that. But it would be a huge economic burden. I can't stress that enough for a dairy farmer to have to go through this cycle. I feel for the ones that have had to go through the cycle in Texas and in Michigan. It is incredibly damaging to have this much of your milking herd drop in production like this. And the ramifications, we're not seeing a high mortality from the virus, but what we're seeing is a high cull rate because a lot of times these animals are not able to come back onto production with the same vitality that they did. And so that's affecting the overall herd outlook. Overall, we have a really tight springer market, meaning the replacement herd is very, very low right now across the nation, including California. Dairy farmers are just not carrying a lot of extra stock because it costs money. And so if we had a huge reduction in our main herd and had to find replacement stock, that would definitely impact the milk supply outlook.
Okay. We, as we mentioned earlier, we gave an update in our weekly newsletter yesterday that went out yesterday. We also have information on the website, the little resources with all of the up-to-date information. Is there anything else you want to add today?
The situation is evolving and changing. I'm learning something new. And as the scientists are discovering, you know, new vectors, new transmissions, they've been really good about communicating that to people like me. So I can communicate that to people in the field. Our CDQAP, the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program, has been doing a fantastic job. They have a veterinarian on staff, Dr. Michael Payne. And again, he's really, really knowledgeable about some of the under the hood science on this. But it's not a good day for dairy when we have a new virus that we have to deal with. And ironically, because it's never presented itself, all of our herd protection plans, our farm program manuals, our, you know, basic biosecurity, a lot of that stuff is applicable just because it's good practice. But this is you're not going to find this in any manual. And so some of the practices that we've taken for other biological agents in the past work in this case, but because we just don't have all the information, it's evolving. And so as frustrating as that is for a farmer who wants to make a change and know that it's the right change, it's very likely that I will have some additional recommendations from the 27 or 30 myriad agencies involved in looking at this. And because there was a worker illness, now we have a layer of Cal OSHA, CDC. There's a lot of layers now that have been added outside the animal health aspect of it. So stay tuned. WUDairies.com is a great resource for you. CDQAP is a wonderful resource as well for farmers. But I think that we really put some of the critical economics into our update. And if anybody needs that and is not getting that, please feel free to contact us. What's the website jingle again? Or the email box that they can message this podcast?
It is podcast@wudairies.com.
There we go. Okay. Sorry. There's a lot of websites in people's head.
It'll be in the show notes as well.
And we're really, you know, I think generally speaking, the Board of Western did meet on an emergency basis yesterday, and we arrived at a very protectionist conclusion. Beef and dairy are extremely linked together. We're extremely commingled in this state. We're really proud of both the partnership, but the additional revenue stream that I think that dairy farmers have been enjoying as part of being, you know, part of the beef system. We're crossing a lot of breeds for Wagyu and Kobe. And because it hasn't presented itself in beef cattle yet, we want to make sure that we don't give them a problem where there isn't one. But our board has really been pressing that all cattle from affected regions and states really need to be looked at and quarantined. It's too risky for those herds in the state that, you know, are just learning about this. I think most people have stopped purchasing cattle. I would agree with that from affected areas, but you don't know. And because there's an incubation period, probably between 10 and 14 days, they also don't know that. So even if you might have quarantined young stock a week ago when you thought this was serious, that may still not be long enough. And so because the beef and dairy sector are so linked, it's sometimes very challenging to tell when a young calf or several young calves come back into California to be raised or vice versa. And so we're really pressing the state to take some very rapid and forceful protectionist mechanisms because we can't protect our farmers in this current state.
Right. Okay. Wow. Well, we'll continue to keep everybody updated as we get more information. Anya, thanks for coming on the podcast today.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to Seen and Heard this week. If you have any questions, please reach out to Anya Radabaugh at anya@wudairies.com. Her contact information will also be listed in the show notes.
Pacific Gas and Electric is here to remind you that signs keep you safe. Sections of our natural gas transmission pipeline travel underground and beneath agricultural land. For the safety of you, your family, and your employees, pipeline markers are placed to indicate the approximate location of the pipe as a reminder to use extra care. Removing a pipeline marker creates a serious safety hazard. To have additional markers placed or report damaged or missing markers, please call your PG&E account manager or our Agricultural Customer Service Center at 877-311-3276. To learn more, visit www.pge.com/agsafety. Remember, signs keep you safe.
Thank you to the Western United Dairy's generous business sponsors, the Morningstar Company, Holt of California, Farm Credit Alliance, PG&E, Arada, Swingle, Van Egmond and Goodwin Law Offices, Yosemite Farm Credit, F&R Ag Services, Moss Energy Works, California Dairy Magazine, Bennett Environmental, and Common Good Water. We appreciate our sponsors and thank them for their continued support. While Western United Dairies respects the varied views of our guests, please note that the opinions expressed in the Seen and Heard podcast may not necessarily reflect the positions of the Western United Dairies Board of Directors or our sponsors. If you would like more information on how to sponsor Western United Dairies or this podcast, please send us an email at info@wudairies.com.